I'm Charlie Ballantyne, and my small studio session is up next.
I'm Melissa Davis. The following is the audio version of WFYI's July 2019 Small Studio Session with the Charlie Ballantyne Trio. You can find the entire session, including a video of the performance, at wfyi.org/smallstudio. Stay tuned right after this session for an interview with Charlie Ballantyne from WFYI's Jill Dittmeyer. Support for Small Studio comes from Sun King Brewing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for having us out here. It's always been a dream of mine to come out here. I've seen so many great local and national musicians on this stage. So thank you so much for having us. Let me introduce you to my good friends, Jesse Whitman on the bass and Chris Parker on the drums. These are all new songs we're doing from an upcoming album we have coming out pretty soon on vinyl, CD, and digital. And you can keep track of all that stuff on my website, charlieballantyne.com, also on Instagram and Facebook, so feel free to check that stuff out. And thank you guys for listening. We're going to do one more song for you.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Jill.
We're so happy to have you here today.
Me too. This
and
is fun.
You guys really enjoyed playing in here.
Yeah, we did. We've all seen so many great people play here. This was an awesome day.
And you can tell by the sound that you three create that you have been playing together for quite a while.
We have, but Chris actually lives in New York now. We weren't sure how this was going to go. We haven't played any of this music since we recorded it in December. You're right. These guys, we've played so many gigs together that as soon as I heard them play, I was like, oh, this is going to be fine.
Because you have played with them so many different times in so many different places, do you just kind of go into that mode of the song and the performance, or do you actually really think about where you are and what venue you're performing in and make changes to it?
It's definitely different. Like, I think, you know, the energy's different, and I think being lower energy, like in a room like this, isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think if you play the room right, a lot of the times you're creating a more intimate energy. And that's kind of what I felt today when we were playing. It was like, oh, let's like reel this in and make this like a living room, you know, let's like a house concert, as opposed to, you know, like the jazz kitchen or something where it's a bigger room. So it's fun to kind of take the dynamic in different directions depending on the setting.
Because you are a working musician, and that means you play in front of live audiences all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, all three of us are, so we definitely have had our experiences of, like, playing the room the wrong way before, you know, being too loud or being too quiet in a big room. So it's all part of it, you know, figuring that aspect out.
So the new album is called Cold Coffee.
Yep.
Where'd you come up with the title?
There's a track on there called Cold Coffee, but really it was, my last record was the instrumental Bob Dylan tribute, and after that, it was really tough for me to write things that maybe didn't sound like Bob Dylan's music, and it was just tough to kind of accept what I was writing after being immersed in this genius's discography for so long. And then last fall, it was about like a 2 or 3 week period where, like, I usually have like 5 cups of coffee a day that are all half full over the house. So it was like for 2 weeks between like midnight and 4 in the morning, I just like was writing and, you know, finally being okay with what was coming out. And I just was fueling myself with all these little disgusting half cups of coffee that had been left throughout the day. So that was the thought behind the title.
Is that going to be the art on the title too?
The art is a Polaroid that I accidentally spilled coffee on because we took it like months before I submitted it to the designer. So that was just the like little homage, just a little coffee stain on the picture.
So what did get you, what spurred your imagination and your creativity then to start writing songs for this new album, since you had been living the Dylan life for quite a while?
The three of us recorded an album shortly after the Dylan one of All Standards. I liked it. I liked the album a lot. I thought it turned out great, but we never released it because I just felt like after the Dylan thing, I didn't want to be a guy that didn't write original music. I didn't want to have like any kind of stigma like, yeah, these songs are cool, but he doesn't write his own tunes anymore, I guess. So we just kind of put that one on the back burner. And I tried and failed for months at just like trying to take ideas and evolve them into songs. And I've always been like a quality over quantity guy. So I just had all these papers laying around of like 30 to 40 potential tunes. And I just picked the best ones I thought are the ones that went together the best. So that was kind of why I pushed myself to write some original music for this record.
I kind of heard a little bit of almost like a Latin beat in some of the music that you played today.
Yeah, it's, you know, we all have such a crazy culmination of influences, and it's the type of thing where I don't give them any information when we're playing. When we when I give them the music, and they usually don't ask, like, what do you want here? It's like I give them the lead sheets, I play my part, and they're just going to do something awesome. I know. So any kind of feel or, you know, Latin or swing, any kind of subtle nuance regarding, like, any kind of tradition is just kind of brought upon by all our culmination of influences just thrown in a pot, I think.
I think that's something about your music all along, from the beginning when I first heard you play. You are always really open to just that collaborative kind of thing.
Yeah. I went to jazz school, but I always have liked the guys who you can look at and be like, well, is he a jazz guy? You know, like John Scofield or Bill Frisell, where they have, you know, they can swing like crazy and they can play traditional jazz, but they kind of choose not to because they like Hendrix or they like, you know, Jeff Beck or they like the Rolling Stones, or and they use that stuff in their jazz compositions and their approach to jazz. So I've always wanted to, I would hate to abandon like all that stuff I listened to as a kid and grew up loving. So I try and incorporate as much as I can.
So when you were choosing the songs that made it onto Cold Coffee, did you kind of keep that in mind, or did you just pick the ones that you felt sounded the best?
Yeah. Luckily, my wife's a musician, and she's very honest.
Amanda Gardier.
Yep.
Fabulous musician.
Good plug.
Saxophonist.
There.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so she's kind of my, you know, the judge of all this. She doesn't always get the, every once in a while I'll disagree with her and be like, well, I know you don't like that one, but I think I'm going to put it on anyways. But she really is, she determines a lot of what goes on my records, because if I show her something that I'm really excited about and she goes, yeah, then it's like, oh, man, I might have to look at this again. So it helps to kind of have someone that isn't going to lie to you and is going to be like, well, I think you could maybe do that a little differently. So that helps a lot.
You guys have a true partnership that way, too.
Yeah, well, she doesn't listen to me. And rightfully so. But yeah, I really trust her opinion when it comes to that stuff.
And you're going to release this once again on vinyl, CD, and digital.
Yep. I've really enjoyed the last couple records being on vinyl. It was a pretty cool moment. Like, all three of us were on the Dylan record, and when I gave them the vinyl, we all kind of had a moment where we were like, yeah, we're on wax. Mm-hmm. This is cool.
I think people like that too.
Yeah. My dad loves it. I almost thought about, you know, not doing it for this record. And my dad was like, what? You got to do vinyl, man. And so it's become a thing that you kind of have to do almost these days.
And your dad, Scott Ballantyne, also a very well-known musician here in town, too.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a great blues, country, jazz player.
So your dad, Scott Ballantyne, has been a big influence and a big help.
Yeah, even from, like, you know, day one, when he was always really good about not necessarily giving me guitar lessons, but just exposing me to things he thought I needed to know about. So when I got my first guitar, there was maybe a brief, like, 5-minute lesson, like, here's a cool scale you can play around with, and here's 20 albums. And I was just before the generation of YouTube learners, so I was kind of the last generation that learned by just putting on, like, a Stevie Ray record and, like, trying to play along with it, trying to do stuff he was doing, or Santana. So I'm really happy that he kind of helped me develop in that way.
And do you still teach?
Yeah, I teach over at Marion University.
How do you use that same kind of process with your students as well?
I do. You know, it's getting more and more difficult to get the younger generations to kind of listen. There's some amazing players out there because of they can utilize so many things at their disposal, like YouTube, anything online, anything they want to learn, it's there. But there is something that you can't verbalize that you get from just listening to music, just being obsessed with certain albums, just really internalizing the things you like. So if we have an hour lesson, we might spend 15 minutes just listening, like, hey, check this out. You know, you're kind of sounding like you're going in this direction. Here's this recording. I think it's really important.
And to let them know that there's nothing really new out there.
Yeah.
Everything's kind of comes from someplace earlier, but you can learn a lot from that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, they're definitely like innovators still, but so much of what's popular is just kind of going off of, you know, like a Led Zeppelin vibe or, you know, like Stevie Ray, but it's a little faster. It's all, you're right, it's all, you can kind of track it to what these people's influences were.
With the new album, are you going to tour with it, or what's the plan with it?
Yeah, we're doing a summer tour just through June, mainly Midwest dates, Detroit, Louisville, some Wisconsin stuff, Des Moines, and we're doing the Elkhart Jazz Festival again, which is a lot of fun. It's a big jazz festival in northern Indiana for a whole weekend where we get to do a set every day for 3 or 4 days. So it was fun to get invited back to that again.
Is it still important for you to tour, to leave the city and go around? Because, I mean, you play in Indianapolis all the time. But is it still important for you and your craft to get out?
Yeah, I think it is. You learn so much playing for different audiences and in different rooms, and you learn about the music even, you know, that I wrote. It's like, oh, this kind of thing works in this room and it doesn't work in this room. And it's also important when you release a record to push it other places personally. People love, like, even though they can get on my website and buy the record, you know, they wait to come see us a lot of the time, and people still like that interaction of, like, buying a CD or a record off of the actual person. So it's fun, and, yeah, I think it is important.
How have you seen your process and your learning change and grow over the course of these last four, almost really, this maybe is really five albums, because didn't you have a couple before the last?
Yeah.
You've done quite a few,
yeah,
in a short amount of time. Yeah,
our fifth one in 5 years, which sounds crazy. But yeah, I think that's kind of why I do them so frequently, because I will release a record and then I'll be happy and content with myself for like 3 days, and then I hear something that just completely blows my mind, blows me out of the water, and I'm like, I get inspired, and I'm like, that's what I need to be doing. What we just did isn't what I hear in my head. Now I hear this other thing. So it's always kind of just like reaching for this thing that we can never actually reach, you know?
And how do you balance that then with performing live so often and creating new music? And
sometimes it happens when we're performing live, you know, I'll hear an idea that Chris does or something, or that Jesse does, like a rhythmic or harmonic idea, and I'll go back and be like, oh, I wonder if I can write a song off of this thing we did at the end of that song that we've never done before. So with jazz, so much of it is spontaneous, that since it's never the same, you're being inspired by the people performing the music around you all the time.
And you're still a newlywed. Has that changed your music or influenced it in any way?
Gosh, I don't think so. You write differently and in different mindsets, definitely. And it's been a happy few months so far. But other than that, we've always just had, you know, such a close personal relationship as well as a working relationship. So the working relationship didn't really change at all, and our approach to music, like, we'd be doing what we're doing, I think, both of us, whether we were married or together or not.
But Amanda's not on this album.
She's not. I've always wanted to do just all my favorite guitar records are trio, like back to Hendrix and, you know, then like Wes Montgomery, Grant Green, and John Scofield, Bill Frisell. There's kind of a connective tissue that can only happen when there's a trio. I don't know how to explain it, but you feel very connected to everyone around you. And it doesn't change that much when you add a horn, but it does.
Yeah. It's a different sound.
Yeah.
If heaven forbid somebody has not heard any of your music before, where would you want them, in what order would you like for them to go back and listen to your albums?
Oh, well, I don't recommend anyone do that. But I guess I always like the newest one, regardless of what it is. I mean, the Dylan one was so much fun to record, and that definitely has been our most successful so far. I think just, you know, not because it was anything special we did, it just was a testament to how much people love Bob Dylan and how far that it still blows my mind, like, you know, getting posted on what you think is a small, like, Bob Dylan forum, and then I have like 25 emails the next day from like Norway or something, and people are just so into everything Dylan. So that was a fun one to do. And so I guess I'd recommend starting with that one. And then if you like it, maybe check out some of my original music on the other albums.
Or see you live, because you're an excellent live performer too.
Oh, thank you.
As we got to see today. Is there another influencer that may be the study of an upcoming album for you, like Dylan was?
I have an idea, and my wife almost killed me because I'm thinking of the album after the one that we haven't released yet. But it kind of started. I've written a couple tunes. I'm a very big Kurt Vonnegut fan, and I had an idea at one point to do an album of songs that are dedicated to characters in his books. And I love Indianapolis, and he's our writer. He's our poet, kind of. You know, he's the voice of that genre, definitely. And it would be cool to kind of pay homage to him in that way, I think. And I don't even know if he liked jazz. He talks about it sometimes in his books, but yeah.
Brew up another pot of coffee or two, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Some more cold coffee.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Jill.